From the Spirit, as we've been talking about the last several weeks, and I just am going to give it over to her, but I just want to give you an encouragement that if there's things bubbling up in you, that might be the Holy Spirit that's causing those things to bubble up, and to give him opportunity to speak through you. You might have a question or comment that's been an obstacle. You might have something that's really on your heart that you wanted to share from these last couple of weeks as you've been chewing on this. And we want to have this as an interactive time this morning. But Elaine will lead us in what that all looks like. Bless you, Elaine, as we go. Do you have a microphone? I will give you this one.
Good. Good morning. I've never done this before, so we'll see how this goes. One of the things that I was just listening to one of my Worship You online, that I take Worship You online from Bethel at Reading, and Jonathan Hessler was speaking. He's the guy that wrote No Longer Slaves. And it was his wife that was speaking. And their emphasis was just how we go along into the kingdom, the more like family kingdom looks. And so this morning I just thought, you know what? I feel like we just need to get up and give each other some hugs for the next 2 minutes or so, or 1 minute. I don't know how fast it goes. Just find about 10 people that you can give 30-second hugs. That's awesome. We could probably just keep doing this all morning, hey? That's good. I just want to release over us a sense of belonging. Just want to say you belong. You belong in the family. Yeah. Your treasures. Yeah, so we just release into the atmosphere that just that sense of belonging and that sense of significance and who we are in you. Thank you, Jesus. So like Daniel said, we're going to have a little time of interaction. Before we do that, I just wanted to share a few, I don't know if you call them random thoughts. They are connected to some of the things that I've shared. First of all, in regards to identity. And when we talk about, I talked a bit about giving thanks and the negativity that we can get into sometimes. And studies have shown that we have some 70,000 thoughts per day. And that 80% of those thoughts are negative. Isn't that amazing? And what percentage of that 80% is negative self-talk? It's a pretty high percentage. So it's very easy, to slip into that, then letting that negative self-talk come out of our mouths, or that negativity come out of our mouths. But what we want to do is transform our minds so those thoughts are God thoughts instead of negative self-talk. And it's not that we just try to, okay, now I'm going to really try hard to be positive. No, it's not, it's different than positive thinking. It's receiving the thoughts of God and letting him define you and define what's happening around you and define the people around you. And that's a growing process. Yes. Well, you certainly can.
I just find each one, the process is eventually you get to know yourself, and you know at what point your negative thoughts bombard you and where not. So you learn to walk in discipline as to when the negative thoughts overwhelm you and when not. For me, it is when I'm in the morning and lying in bed and I'm passive for a moment, just then negativity seems to come over me.
Yeah.
But then, and also when I'm, let's say, I just take time and just lie down on the couch instead of resting, the negative thoughts start to roll.
Yeah.
So then the Lord speaks to me and says, go do something. And I find when I do something, then he speaks to me, and you think, well, you should be quiet, but quiet isn't necessarily just laying passive. quiet is doing something with my hands. My mind speaks to me in my heart when my hands and my mind, because my mind now is connected to my hands, and the enemy can't use my, he can't freely use my mind to give negative thoughts. My mind's engaged,
right.
And then the Lord can speak to me. Yeah. During that time, and that's his rest for me, is to do something with my hands and not be passive. Mm-hmm. And just deaden the negativity. I can shut that negativity down by doing something.
Right.
That's me, and that, I learned that journey, so I know now where, what to avoid to get negativity.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yeah.
Well, that's me personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. That's 70, we think 70,000 thoughts is a lot. But then you turn to Psalm 139, and it says, God has as many thoughts as the sand of the seashore towards you. And I was reading something this week. He wants to share those thoughts with you. So here is the God of all the universe, who pre-planned each one of us, actually wants to share his thoughts with us. He is the creator of the universe. His first revealed identity was not as Father or Savior. His first revealed identity was as creator. So he wants to share his thoughts with you as creator, but also as Father, as Savior, as everything he is. And his thoughts are just like, if you can imagine a circle. And okay, so we've got 70,000 thoughts. Okay, just that's a pinpoint in the circle of his thoughts. Okay? And he wants to share those thoughts with you. But the thing is, do we believe it? Do we believe he wants to share those thoughts with you? So, book I was reading, it says, he's like a fire hose who wants to shoot his thoughts at you. But do we really believe it? And will we let him? Will we take the time to let him and to receive those thoughts? The holdback is not the enemy. The holdback is our belief systems, is our faith. Do we really believe it? And will we receive it? And in the area of we can fall into negativity, we want to be thankful. The thing to remember is God never punishes you for being unthankful or for getting into that mode of negativity. It's not that he's punishing you ever, but we are not wired for negative thoughts. We're not wired for negative thinking. We're not wired for negative emotions. Does that make sense? The way he's created us, we're not wired for that. So he's telling us this is, being thankful is one of the ways that you can come out of negativity. Okay? One speaker I was listening to, he just said being thankful leads you into life, the energetic field of life. And Graham Cook, he said something really strong. I don't know if I should say that or not. But he actually said that the language of complaining is the language of hell. Anyways, here's another interesting statistic. It is shown that children laugh an average of 400 times a day, while adults laugh 15 times a day. Something happens as children get older, and I would propose to you that it's not a good thing. Laughter's decline is not rooted in faith or intimacy with God, but it comes from stress, from growing up, from difficult circumstances, from unbelief or religious tradition. And Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Maybe being converted to increasing laughter is a part of what Jesus meant in these verses. So, we need to get into question and answers really soon, but I have a video I want to play for you that'll help us get into laughter. And you may have seen it before, but you'll see it again.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us. Feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there, that's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. Got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set.
So does that look like any of us? You know, some people have said that anybody from the outside watching worship would, you know, just crazy to them, you know. But so anyways, don't let that spoil what you think about, you know, about stop you from raising hands on Sunday morning or whenever. Okay, so questions, anyone?
I think the first time you spoke is really the first time I really heard you, is you said our spirit, soul, and body, no, our spirit actually has a mind, a will, and emotions. That is totally new. Okay,
we're made in the image of God, and God is spirit. And if you look at different scriptures, that I can't pull them out right now, but it talks about the mind of Christ, talks about the mind of the Spirit. If God has a mind, will, and emotions, then would it not make sense that our spirits have a mind, will, and emotions as well? And I actually can't remember who I heard that taught to me the first time, but that's what was...
How does that relate to our everyday life, though? It's such a new concept that. How does that relate to my, how do I connect to that wild mind, emotion, and will of my spirit? It's so new. Does it function by itself, or do I give it choices, or do I, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that I don't know if I can answer your question, except that for myself, I find that speaking to my spirit has made a difference for me. Just blessing my spirit to be everything that it's that God has created my spirit to be. And like I said also that your spirit man has limitless capacity to grow. And as you get to know, it's almost like you have to get to know who your spirit is. But your spirit is one with Holy Spirit as well. So, yeah, I don't know if I can adequately answer your question. I don't know if I know myself how it all functions yet. Yeah. Yes.
Hello.
Hi, Matthew.
May I try to answer that question?
Absolutely. Go for it.
Makes sense. I just met Murray, so I can use him as an example.
Right.
What is your name? Barb. Hello, Barb. My name is Matthew. Barb asked how you were to go about accessing that mind of your spirit. And I think that we obviously have our brain and our own mind, and then if we were to have our spirit mind as well, if Murray were an unbeliever, he would only be able to access his brain and his mind within his head. But I think that mind that we get and those thoughts and feelings that we get from our spirit are obviously from God. So I think with an unbeliever, they can't access that mind and spirit and feelings that are coming from God until they have accepted Jesus. And does that make sense?
That makes total sense. Yeah. It's with your spirit. You're saying you're with your spirit, you access God.
Yeah, because I think when we accept Jesus Christ into our hearts, then we do have that spiritual connection with God that someone who hasn't accepted Christ wouldn't have yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Thank you, Matthew.
The things which God has prepared for us, but the Spirit reveals them to us. But by the Spirit, they are revealed to us. Mm-hmm. So your mind might not understand, but your spirit does. And He reveals it to you through the Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is something we're all kind of getting better at as we go on. Sometimes it's hit and miss whether we're hearing from the Spirit or from our unrenewed mind.
Right.
And just a couple of scriptures that come to mind is that we have the mind of Christ. And as we renew ourselves to who Christ is, that becomes part of our renewal of identifying with that mind in the Spirit, I think. Yeah. And I think it's already given to us at conversion. But another verse says he works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Mm-hmm. And I can look back through my life and see, I know the times when I've obeyed that in my spirit and when I haven't, when I've taken my way, my journey. Mm-hmm. And his ways are always the ways of peace. Mm-hmm. And they keep us, there's no condemnation, there's no, we don't even have to if we don't want to, but he's always calling us. And his ways are ways of peace, and it's just part of, I think it's part of our journey just to figure our way through hearing from the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So.
Amen. Anyone else?
Sorry. I think it's just that maybe what I was trying to say is that if it didn't make complete sense, that it might not be ourselves that access our spiritual mind and stuff like that, but God placing those thoughts and working through you in that sense. Mm-hmm. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Often I'm not really sure what happens to me here, but I have prayed in times past, Father, break my heart with the things that break yours. And sometimes I find myself sitting here and looking around and thinking everybody's doing great, so how come I'm so broken and weeping, like just almost uncontrollably? But would that then be the mind, will, and emotions of the Holy Spirit? Because it's not like, for example, Bonnie, it's not like Bonnie sitting beside me crying, or people around me are crying, and therefore I am choosing to cry with them, that we are to do that. Right. And people who know me know that it's been said my place in the body is the tear ducts, and that's not what I would ever choose. So that to me is very emotional, and it's not because I know that someone is brokenhearted, but I believe because I have prayed, Father, break my heart with the things that break yours.
Right.
Does that make sense then?
Yeah, I would sense that you're sensing the emotions of the Holy Spirit. I would say, yeah. And I would say you could be sensing that in your spirit first. Okay?
Exactly.
And that's translating to your own emotions. I don't know if that's a good way of explaining it.
No.
But that's kind of what I would sense. You're sensing the emotions of the Holy Spirit being in your own spirit, and then it translates and it transfers into your own emotions.
Yes. And there, you know, Elaine, now that we're talking about it, and I'm so glad I'm here and we're talking about it, because people have asked me, what happens to you exactly?
Right.
Because I'm not an angry person, but once in a while I'll come into a situation, I don't know the details, I don't know what's going on. It's like a righteous indignation. I can feel it coming up from my toes. I don't know if you would call it a holy anger, and I think for years I tried to stuff it down and say that's not very Christian-like.
Right.
But when the little fellow, Nikki, when Henry was so sick, and Megan got the message and came upstairs with it, it was just like a fire came from my toes up into my body. And I think we even were praying, and I remember the words, how dare you attack my little brother? How dare you? Yes? Okay. So that would be like a very strong emotion. Yeah. And my first emotion when I hear that a baby is sick is to cry.
Right.
But the emotion that came up in me that day was like, you mess with my little brother, you mess with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It makes sense that the mind of the Spirit would communicate, the mind of God would communicate to our spiritual mind, like Matthew said, and then it's our choice as to whether we recognize and allow the spiritual mind then to communicate to our physical minds the message, and then allow it to be spoken out or be acted upon or whatever. And the same thing with emotions. It would be a choice. Like Kathy has a choice then when she senses when the emotional, the spiritual, the emotions of
of Christ are communicated to the emotions of her spirit. At that point, she has a choice as to whether she is going to allow the emotions in her spirit person to be manifested or to flow out of her physical through to her physical emotions. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. So that's what, like she said, sometimes she shut it down.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't recognizing that as being that it wasn't too Christian, and that's where the mind, our human minds resist the mind of our spirit, which is heard from the mind of God.
Yeah.
And then we have a choice at that point to allow it to develop or to shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing to remember. We always have a choice. It's good, Marie. Thanks. Anyone else?
So on this matter of choice, it's becoming really strong to me that no matter how good a church we go to, even if we're among people who seem to be in victory all the time and are always praising God, but if we don't, if we just live on that atmosphere when we're on our own, if we don't sustain that and put on the mind of Christ by our own free will and volition, we still tend to be unstable in our Christian walk. And so God designed this he designed this thing to operate in a way whereby true change cannot bypass the individual's free choice, I believe, you know, to put on the mind of Christ and to put off the carnal mind. Until we make that choice, we don't seem to be able to permanently help anyone, even though we can pray for them, we can create a good atmosphere, but ultimately the change comes from the inside out. So choice is really, really, really important. Yeah.
I was just thinking about how with kids, especially kids from hard places or any kids that struggle with FESD or dyslexia or anything like that, brain function is sometimes it's like the only way they can learn to do the right thing is by repeating it again and again and again. And if they do it that way, they can learn, they can make new trails in their brain. Whereas before, they may have always chosen to hit someone. But then after repeating again, nope, let's try that again, you know? Mm-hmm. It might take 200 tries, but they can create this new trail, this pathway in their brain. But if they learn that through play, then it can take 20 times. Mm-hmm. And it's like worship. When we're worshiping, we're speaking words of truth in worship. Like we're playing with God. And we can learn those new trails in our brain mm-hmm. faster, right?
Yeah. I think that worship is one of the main ways in which we're encountering the presence of God. And there's a scripture that says hills, we just talked about it this morning in our pre-service prayer, hills and mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. So it's like the resistance that we have, that we encounter in our own brains, they can melt like wax as we are in the presence of the Lord and worshiping Him. And as we play with, it's like we play with God. And another thing about children, their main activities are eat, drink, and play. You know, so...
I just have to vouch for that completely because when someone was little, I'm not going to point fingers, but they would wake up at 5 a.m., you know, after I've gone to bed at 1 a.m. folding laundry. And I didn't want to wake up at that time. Totally didn't. And she's like, I don't want to be up alone. So she would wake up her brother. And then they would go down, and I'm like grumpily walking down the stairs. And they would, I had left a CD in the machine, and they would turn it on, and I'd like start getting angry because I didn't want them playing with the music machine, right? The stereo. And the song that was in there was Brian Dirksen, or Praise and Worship, typically when I'd be working at night. And they would just start dancing and singing, and how can you get mad at that? Like, seriously. And then it would change my heart, yeah, right there, and saying, okay, I know I didn't sleep much, but give me the strength to keep going. And it would. And that anger would melt away, and you join in and sing with them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Thank you for mentioning that, because it's so true.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to support that idea.
I guess it's, I always think about the idea of what comes out of our spirit is what we plug into it, right? I mean, if we plug into the Holy Spirit and let God work through our spirit and the spirit mind, that's where that gets its thoughts from, is what we plug into it, right? I mean, if we feed our spirit garbage, it's going to put back out garbage. So I think everybody has that inner spirit in them, whether they're a Christian or not, but it just depends on where they plug that source into for their spirit, right? And what we feed it is what's going to come out of it. I mean, if we're, and even like what Ruth was saying too, right? Like, I mean, if a kid is playing, they're focused on what they're doing. If we're in the middle of, in worship and in music, music for some reason isolates our brains from everything else around us, right? You can dive into music and focus on what it's saying to you. If you're trying to do 16 million things at once and trying to focus on God at the same time, it's not going to work, right? I mean, then we're getting a little trickle of the stream instead of getting the full fire hose of what God wants to say to us in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't know, I guess it's, and it's that idea of like our physical mind then opening that door and saying, what do you have to say to me, Spirit, now that I've plugged into this tap of God? What do you want to say to me now? Instead of only opening the door a crack and saying, what do you have to say to me today? You know, and whispering it to him. And instead of saying, open the door all the way and God, what do you have to say to me now through your Holy Spirit, through my spirit, into my being that I can carry into the physical world now with my physical body and mind? What you have, you know, for me to be an impact on the world through that, right? Or how you want to speak to my physical mind and body through my spirit, right? And it's that consciously thinking, like, God, what do you have for me today? And what do you want to say through you and through my spirit and use my physical body at the same time to kind of accomplish that goal, right?
Right.
I don't know. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense in my head either.
Okay. Here's another thought, and the whole aspect of your prayer language, they have actually done studies where they have set up a system. They've wired a person to a system, and they've measured the level of brain activity when you pray in the spirit. And praying in the spirit totally bypasses your brain. So that it's like they've shown that there's no brain activity when you pray in the spirit. So it's like you're accessing something beyond your own mind. And I think that is one of the keys that God has given us in being able to access even our own spirit plus the spirit of God. So I just throw that out there.
One of the most frustrating things that I find is I forget. And I go, okay, God, like how, like you're talking about how many negative thoughts we actually get bombarded with. And so, it's so easy to just forget. Yeah, I have the Holy Spirit inside of me, but when it's so strong, so I have this, like, I'm so torn. Okay, God, I get down, and like it happened to me last night. So I'll just give a good example right here as to I was so frustrated. I don't have enough time in the day to do everything I want to do. I was mentioning that to a few people here this morning because it was real and so frustrating. And then I let that get me down because I get hard on myself. So all of a sudden I realized, okay, should I put music on? Should I pray in the spirit? Like there's all these things that we can do. But then doing, it's like that's a heavy in itself sometimes. And so what happened to me last night, also I go, and I felt like the Holy Spirit, Ruth, you can't do it. And I go, no. Okay, so then I said, okay, I cannot do this. I cannot fight all the negative things that are coming into my mind. And saying that was the victory for me last night. Saying, I cannot do it, was a victory because all of a sudden the negative thoughts were gone. So, okay, I can't explain that, but I just thought I would share that because it was like doing sometimes is just too heavy.
That is so good, Ruth. And I just want to take off from there. I just share an experience that I had. Just this one Christmas time, I was going shopping and I had something, a specific thing in mind. I was shopping for my daughter and could not find it anyways. And I had gone shopping, just negativity had just overcome me that morning. I was tired. I was frustrated. I didn't want to be shopping. Total in a funk, you know, kind of thing. And so I go to this store where they had advertised it as on special. I go there. I could not find one in sight. Like, and I was just ready to, just ready, totally in a complaining mood. All of a sudden, I was standing there looking at the shelves, and all of a sudden, on the floor, right beside me, was this machine that I was looking for. And I just burst into tears, like, where was it before? I don't know. Did it all of a sudden appear there? I have no idea what happened. But in the midst of a totally negative, just where I'd overcome by negativity, it was just like, to me, it just God had provided something. So it's all of a sudden, it's not a matter of doing sometimes. It's he does it in the middle of our negativity too.
Going back a little bit to what you were saying with the EEGs that they did to scan the brain when we were praying in the spirit, and it kind of comes up blank. From a scientific perspective, I can kind of maybe help answer that. What they've found is that our stomach, our gut, has just as many nerve endings and nerves as our brain. And scripture says, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And the Holy Spirit rests and lives within our gut, our belly. They also have a single solitary nerve called the vagus nerve. The left, thank you. That connects our stomach or our gut with our brain. That's the connection from the Holy Spirit to our conscious mind that we all think that, is it from me or is it the Holy Spirit speaking to me? If it's coming from the belly, it's coming from the Holy Spirit.
Thanks, Brian.
You'd be in a hand-raising church, man.
Hopefully I can get this out. But one of the things I was just sort of feeling, sort of in a summary, like I'm seeing a circle here, and even now, just now that Brian talking about the belly, often I know the belly is referred to the soul, I believe. And I feel like God's spirit is the introduction when he comes. Like even look at the beginning of the church, it was the spirit moved in power. But then you read through most of the Bible and it's about doctrine and it's about trying to establish how do we walk this out, which is the soul. And I hear a lot of this sort of back and forth, you know, I feel this and then. So it's sort of like the God's spirit introduces us to the potential for the saving of our soul. Like not by our own might, not by our own power. He comes in his own way that often surprises us, often shocks us. And then it's a presentation from him as to then we have options. That we didn't have before. Well, we did, but maybe we come into a revelation of options. And And then it's often goes, and then it becomes a full circle, though, because the saved soul then can, you know, we hear stories of people saying, well, you know, giving practical advice about how to nurture your spirit. And it's a saved soul that's going, I've learned this, like, try this or whatever. But ultimately, it's always, it's God's spirit getting into our soul, and then our soul, because there's things that are, there's, I think someone said that, yeah, you don't have to be a believer to have a spirit man. And I think that there's a lot of things trying to, a lot of voices in the wind, but there's the voice of God, and it's that learning to walk out what he's putting in. And one story that just kept coming to me, I don't know how it totally relates to all this, but when I was in Israel 10 years ago, it was kind of funny to me, because it was sort of this thing too, where sort of anointing, and there was I was with a very established sort of anointed worship leader that we were out there with. Sean Foyt, you guys may know him or heard of him, and we were out there for 10 days and just praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and the most memorable experience of that whole time was, and many of us have different giftings from God. Those come from the Spirit, you know, and then we walk them out, even sometimes, yeah, from the soul. Like, and we get known, that's for who we are. And, you know, Sean Foyt's this guy that carries something, and it's from God, right? But we came into this one place, and he's sort of this young guy, you know, he kind of at the time, that was almost 10 years ago, and he was probably still in his 20s, I think, and he came in, and, you know, and everyone, the expectation's high, like, you know, we're here to, like, with this guy that, you know, we're this young group, I'm the oldest in the group, I think, and we're coming in, and we're like, you know, it was in the temple of David, or the prayer, what do they call it? They believe it was where David, and it was just this prayer room they established right in Jerusalem underneath where they feel like David was. I don't even know how I'm saying this correctly. But anyways, we're in this prayer room. We come in, and the expectation, we start to worship, and you just feel like we're trying to make something happen. I don't know if you've ever, I think Ruth kind of alluded to that too, like this thing of, you know, I got to make this happen or something. And we're all sort of like looking to Sean, you know, like we all do that, right? We look to the worship leader, and Dad sort of alluded to that too. Like, you can go to a great church, but it was amazing. And it is ultimately, God speaks to individuals, right? He says, love your neighbor. Like, that's a soul thing. Like, that's an instruction. It's not just like you get this, but he gives us bombs that hit us. We're like, oh, he loves me so much. And it comes from that, right, that we go extend out. But anyways, so we're all, you know, trying to make something. It's getting loud, and we're trying, you know, we're raising the volume and chanting, you know, we're going to make this thing happen. We're coming from our soul. But all of a sudden, an interruption, a surprise happens. And it wasn't a loud surprise. This old lady, and she'd been in this prayer room for, like, she was part of the, again, you could tell she'd been through the full circle many times, spirit into the soul, back to the spirit, but like, and she'd been there, like, just that was where she was called. And she all of a sudden just speaks up, and she said, I think, two words, and she carried this spiritual authority that I think is probably she's worked something out, and it's gone from the soul back to the spirit, back to, you know, and it's solid, and it's this old lady, and we're these young yahoos, you know, just, oh, Jesus, you know, and she comes, and she says, let's just sit, and wow, like, that was like a spiritual moment, like, I don't remember anything else as much as, like, the impact of that, and she just spoke those two words, and we all of a sudden, for, like, I think it was for, like, a half an hour, you could hear a pin drop, and it was the authority of God coming through this little old lady, you know, and it was such an impactful moment, and it was very quiet and very, like, supernatural, miraculous. Yeah. And I, just a thought, though, but that full circle overall is what, yeah, God gets in, and we have to work out in the decisions that we make in the, yeah, things that are presented to us in this life, but but yeah, God surprises us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. Thanks, Brian. That whole idea of being still, that's a powerful, that's a miracle, yeah. That is. Well, we'd really like to
get back into worship, I think. So I think, unless if somebody has something burning on their heart right now, if the worship team would want to come back up. But if someone does have something to say as the worship team comes up, Brian.
I just want to say I've really enjoyed this series on worship. For me, worship is very important in my life. Mm. I play worship music in my shop a lot. My life right now is actually very chaotic. Mm. Work-wise and personally, it's most chaotic it's ever been. Yeah. And I know I need worship every day.
Yeah, Henry. Henry wants to.
If you've been here a long time, you go through the whole gambit of like the guy saying what, you know, you raise your hands, they put in your pockets, and you know what? As I went through the whole journey of it, right from the beginning of the church here, so I go, okay, well, what's one guy says you got to dance, next guy's got to raise your hands, one guy says you got to shout. Well, you have all these different forms, right? And finally, I said, Lord, well, which one do you really do? Do you crawl to the front? Do you lie on the floor? Like all of them are forms, right? And then I was standing in the back and said, Lord, I don't know which one to pick. Like, what am I supposed to do? What's freedom, right? And the Lord said, you give me your best, what you think is your best, and I'm happy with you. I'm satisfied. Mm-hmm. So from that, it ever set me free as to how I worship him. Mm-hmm. And that is, when somebody stand in the morning, I have my hands in my pocket, and he says, is that your best? And I said, no. And then I have to decide what's my best. And he's pleased with, from our person, what we offer him. And I don't have to look. Someone says, when you're in the worship, draw a circle around yourself, and it's you and God in that circle, and you worship him the way you want to worship him in that circle, and not what the person beside you does. They're in their own circle, but you worship him the way you give your best according to your understanding is at that time. Mm-hmm. And then set me free forever as to which one you want to pick.
The other thing is that you can be a worship leader right where you are too, because you can have an effect on the people around you. So you can think of yourself, even though, yeah, there is that circle. We worship as individuals, but we also affect the people around us. So it's not just the worship team leading. You can lead right from where you are. You can lead and shift that atmosphere right around you. But the other thing I just want to remind us is that, like I talked about some of the results of worship. We talked about shifting atmospheres in worship. And I just want to remind us that it's never about the results of worship. The results of worship are good to know. Or the fact that worship gets us out of a negative mindset. That's a result of worship, okay? But the reason why we worship, first, we are worshipers, but it's his worth. And one of the words, I don't know if it's a Hebrew word for worship, means worth-ship. It's his worth. That's the reason why we worship. So anyways, if you have something that we'd like to...
Maybe just really quick, a practical thing as we go into worship here. It is noon and the children will be coming out from Sunday school room soon. But I want to just have the atmosphere of worship at the front, and there will be the prayer teams coming up, and if you want prayer. So just be mindful of that with your children, that we kind of leave that space a little bit. And also for those of you who need to leave, you're free, but we're... To go at any time you need to, but we're going to continue just in an atmosphere of worship and let it flow a little bit here as the Holy Spirit leads. So thank you.
I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name, a name that's so much higher than all names. greater than all names. Be lifted up. Be lifted. I sing praises to your name. Praises to your name. The name that's so much higher than all names. All honor to your name. All honor to your name, the name that's so much greater than all names. Be lifted up. Be lifted. lifted up. Be lifted higher. Be lifted up.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just want to speak hope into people's hearts. Yeah. Yeah. You are the God of all hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We just thank you this morning for great grace. Great grace. And all that has been spoken here this morning over the last number of Sundays. We just thank you for great grace. And Holy Spirit, that you will take what you want to teach us in the coming days. And you will work it out in our hearts and in our lives. We just yield ourselves to you in that process of growing in spirit, growing in renewing our minds. And however that translates into our everyday life. So we just welcome your presence in every part of our lives as we go from here. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, so I just have a sense that this is it for this morning. Yeah. So bless you. Have an awesome week. And thank you all for your contributions this morning. Dan did say this before, but if anybody wants prayer, Jesse's up here. And Karen.